Isn't this a sports show?
It's a wet and wild, wacky Wednesday.
Woo!
Almost entirely.
Don't you just love wet and wild Wednesdays?
Wet and Wild Wednesdays starring Warley Warlin.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Hashtag more Warley Warlin is how you make your statement
sound. Hashtag wet and wild.
Hashtag wet and
wild. Hashtag
wet and wild. Hashtag wet and wild Charlie Carlin.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Even when I taste a little bit of sweet tea, it just, way too much. Now that you guys... Now you guys know. Now you guys know about that. I don't know what was so funny there.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
Obviously, that was one of the times I wasn't listening. Mark that.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Ah, welcome in to Almost Entirely Sports on location today. Charlie Carlin, Warley Warlin, Wet and Wild Wacky Wednesday. Charlie is here with me at Pega's Family Restaurant. We'll talk more about that in just a second. But earlier today, Charlie, Beards, and I were all texting each other. And I think it was Beards that just, I think, had the best summation of every conversation we had had, which is, man, today's going to be a weird show. And I can feel it now. I can feel it in my bones. There are too many things going on today from too many different directions for this to not ultimately be a very strange gathering.
Wet and wild weird Wednesday this time?
It's a wet and wild weird Wednesday, for sure. Charlie is here. We're doing a remote, the first live show in this show's young history.
Yeah, although,
Charlie,
it feel?
Well, you and I did the one out in Lawrence just last weekend.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
So it feels good from that perspective. I feel like this is something that we can do regularly without ever throwing a total wrench into the system. But it's the first for this show, and we're in a restaurant. We're in Pega's Family Restaurant. You can come by anytime today. We're at the intersection of Shawnee Mission Parkway and Antioch. It's like American-style comfort food. I haven't gotten to eat anything yet. I'm hoping to amend that before I leave here today. But we're here all show from 4 to 6. You can come by, say hi. You can enter a drawing to get a complete home facelift from Continental Siding. You can enter a drawing to win two tickets to the Heat versus Sixers NBA exhibition game at the Sprint Center.
I'll be going to that.
Free Renaissance. Okay, really? Beards.
Yeah.
I heard another voice, and I looked at Charlie. Oh, my, what is going on?
Welcome to the show, Beards.
Welcome to the show,
Thank
Beards.
You.
Sorry. So you can go hang out with Beards at the Sprint Center for that exhibition game, and you can come get tickets to the Renaissance Festival, which I have already been to this year. Go ahead, Beards.
I said I'll be going to the NBA game.
Oh, no, I heard that. Yeah, no, I thought maybe you had a little more to expound upon there.
Well, I mean, you could come out and hang out with me at the station right now. I mean, they might not let you in, but you can try.
Right. I see, that's the thing, is you definitely could get in, and it would just be kind of bizarre and confusing for everybody, but we're at the Pegas at Shawnee Mission Parkway in Antioch. Come by, get some tickets, sign up to win a couple of things. Say hi to Charlie and I, get some food, and hang out and see the show in real time. There's no Facebook Live today because you can see us in real life today. I think that's fair. But so we're out here. That's weird and different. We're doing the show on remote, and so Charlie and I are at Pegas. Beards is out back at the station, and we can't obviously see each other. And this is all sort of a high-tech setup, and Charlie is just on his Facebook page personally trying to see if Beards has vandalized it in any way. We'll talk about that later. I'm still sick. I think I'm less congested than I was yesterday, which is really exciting.
You sound a lot better. I will say right now. You sound so much better.
I have to imagine that I sound better. I don't feel better. I actually think I feel worse. But I feel like if we can just get through 2 hours, there's no show tomorrow or Friday, so that can be... That can be a little bit of a break for me. Charlie is literally tweeting right now.
I just saw that the Texans claimed middle linebacker Ben Heaney, and from the Saints off waivers, and that's a former Jayhawk. So I thought I'd tweet it out. So yes.
Also, I have an improvised cough button today, which is very important. But I have to just like reach across the table in front of Charlie and then shake the entire system that we're working out of to make that happen. So this just there's a lot of factors in this show today that I think can only be, can only create a good, weird show. Today I wanted to start talking about something we touched on yesterday but has become an even more sort of transcendent storyline. Marcus Peters has earned, I guess I could say. It's not really the word I want to use. You can say that Marcus Peters has earned the ire of a percentage of Chiefs fans that started back whenever he began starting to sit during the national anthem, which is and always will be the main thing that he gets in trouble for in the public perception of a bunch of Chiefs fans. That's going to be the thing working underneath everything in this conversation forever. But moving beyond that, after the Texans, or excuse me, the Texans are playing on Sunday. After the Washington game on Monday night, he had a press conference that we played yesterday. Not a conference, I suppose. But he took a couple of questions. He cursed a couple of times. He said two different. He said one bad word two different times. And there was much clutching of the pearls whenever it came to this Marcus Peters conversation. And so Derek Haglund of this exact station on ESPN Kansas City's shows earlier in the day, he was on Twitter saying that he's sick of the antics, that he's tired of Peters not answering questions from reporters, and that fans are sick of him. When that is all completely ridiculous, completely absurd, that entire narrative just boggles my mind. That's not about it's never been about what he's saying to the media. The media is not what this team is built for. And the things that we pay attention to as far as responses to questions, it does not matter in the large scale. Anyway, I heard somewhere earlier today, somebody was calling Marcus Peters an embarrassment to the city, and it made me roll my eyes. I don't even know how to begin to attack that, because he has a poor game on Monday night, and that opens something up. He yells into the stands as someone's berating him during the game. He curses twice. Oh no. In a post-game interview. It wasn't broadcast live anywhere, by the way. People were recording it, and it wasn't causing any FCC violations. That was causing this uproar. I said on Monday night, I think I figured out that my most controversial Chiefs opinion is that Travis Kelce and Marcus Peters are my two favorite Chiefs players. I think that's the boldest thing I can say in this market. And I just don't understand the vitriol towards genuine emotion. If anybody came to your place of work and they were screaming at you from the stands about how much you suck, how terrible you are, the idea that you wouldn't respond to that with some amount of anger or vitriol is silly to me. And that's what Marcus Peters did. The idea that after a poor performance at your job with a bunch of recorders in your face, with a bunch of phones in your face, people asking you, and you just sort of speaking from your emotions, that seems very reasonable. The idea that there's something to be upset about is just kind of beyond me. I just don't completely get it. Now, I understand that a good place to start for understanding anger towards someone is what's the content of the thing that they're angry about. And for me, I'm not angry about Marcus Peters sitting for the anthem. I'm not angry about Marcus Peters speaking with genuine emotion. I'm not angry about Marcus Peters having a couple of bad plays that turn into scores on Monday night, whenever I've seen more than that from him on a large scale. Whenever the full sample size of Marcus Peters is much, much better than that. The idea that he is somehow an embarrassment feels like such feigned shock to me. It feels like such an intentional overreaction to try to say something bold that completely misses the point. Beards, I know you're back at the studio and we can't actually see each other, but can you pull up Marcus Peters from after the game yesterday? I didn't tell you before the show to do that because, you know, flying by the seat of our pants and all that.
Yeah, I'll grab it.
But I want to hear what I want to let you. If you missed it yesterday, if you haven't heard it yet somehow, I want you to hear his post-game press conference and tell me that this is a guy that's embarrassing to the city. and you could put him in the same category as Travis Kelce. You could put him in the same category as anybody that seems to be an undiluted spirit, an undiluted personality. And I just cannot find myself building up any sort of rage for this. So here's what he said last night after the game.
Marcus, were you actually shocked how much they were trying to attack and go at you tonight?
Man, hell no. They wasn't attacking me. I killed my damn self. You feel me? I should have kept backpedaling on that first touchdown. You feel me? Got a little push in the back, but it's the game of football. You feel me? I came out and I was hella weak today. You feel me? I gave up 2 tugs. But came out the victory, so I'm going to take it as a learning experience. You feel me? We going to chalk it up and go in the meeting room, and then, you feel me, kick back, chill, and relax.
And you caused that fumble at the end of the game, of course, and Justin got that for the touchdown. How did you feel about that?
That made my game go from hella weak to weak. You feel me? So I ain't hella weak. I'm just weak this week. Next week, I'll get back on my though. So, yeah.
Embarrassment? Shocking, startling, clutch your pearls in terror and fear. I'm completely beyond that. I don't find any place in this conversation for, I can't believe that in this game built around the dismantling of your opponent, that a player using a curse word in a post-game interview is somehow too blue for the NFL. For all of the things that can be shocking or embarrassing, we're drawing the line at Marcus Peters all of a sudden? Now listen, it's probably actually just a guy getting put into the vacuum of a midweek conversation. More than anything, it's probably a guy who says one thing that gives you a talking point on a Tuesday. And so I guess it works for us, too. I guess we're having that same conversation. But the idea that that's a place for pearl clutching, and it's not concussions or CTE or Tyreek Hill, is just silly to me. Charlie, you've been very absent for a wild, wet, and wacky Wednesday.
Sorry.
Also, very good call by you there, turning on your microphone, then clearing your throat. That was that order of operations. I felt
just
like
trying to keep it the same as you, because you're just sniffling all over the place.
I feel like I've contained my sniffles pretty well.
There was one cough into the microphone that I got.
Great, fantastic. Are you going to put together a little collection today?
I could.
Gross sounds
fantastic. I could.
Fantastic. Make sure you get Charlie's also. His microphone was off, and then he turned it on, and then cleared his throat into the mic.
Yes, that did happen. But no, I'm not. I'm on the same boat as you with Marcus Peters. It's really, people are kind of overreacting to it. He's an emotional player.
He's not.
I mean, I get that he probably shouldn't be saying that to fans. Like, that's not okay. But we also don't know if they were Chiefs or Redskins fans. But they're probably Chiefs fans. But
it,
you know, still, it just,
you don't know, and it doesn't matter.
It's not that big of a deal to
me. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
that's where I end up. If the place that you're upset is him yelling into the stands after he gave up a touchdown, if that's the place where you are just you just cannot even handle the disrespect that he shows to the ticket buying fans,
his play on the field makes up for that.
But here's the thing, though, and that's how it's always going to work. Yeah. It's always going to be you get more leash based on how good you are. That's how all sort of meritocracies work. If you have more to offer to the organization, you're going to be allowed to do more things that upset the organization. It's Travis Kelce and Marcus Peters' issue. And that's why Tyreek Hill got drafted. If Tyreek Hill ran a half second slower 40-yard dash, he would not be in the league right now.
I have one point I would like to make as well. Have we not, has not just us, just like the media market in general, mentioned the fact that Terrell Pryor was walking off the field, flipping off fans and cursing at them after the game?
Or is that, no, I didn't know that happened.
Or is that different because it's away game fans? Or, you know, not
it was
Washington
right after
fans.
His touchdown, wasn't it? I think it was right after that first touchdown. And, yeah, right after he...
I would assume that's a conversation. I didn't even know that happened. I hadn't even seen that. I assume that's a conversation they're having in D.C. today. I assume
I
that they're having
that
a very similar conversation
the equivalent
there.
Of ours, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. I think that it's obviously you have the conversations with the people in your market. But see, the thing for me that frustrates me on kind of a larger scale is the idea that having an actual undiluted personality is something that has to be offset by a by an exceptional performance, something that has to be offset by extraterrestrial talent. Zach Fulton, a very good offensive lineman, now he's currently the starting center in Mitch Morse's absence. If Zach Fulton wanted to have a really bold, big, boisterous personality, and he wanted to be extra vocal in the media and everything, I would be completely okay with that also. A guy who currently is kind of a replacement-level player. That's a little unfair to Zach Fulton in, on this offensive line, but I digress.
Well, I mean, this offensive line right now.
Fair.
Yeah.
But the idea, though, that you have to be a star on your team, Marcus Peters, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, the idea that you have to be a star, Chris Jones maybe, and now Chris Jones is a fun and lovable big personality, so that the conversation shifts around a little bit there. But the idea that you have to bring next-level talent for people to tolerate your personality is, I think, one of the problems the NFL has. The NFL has a problem with how it manages and monitors the personalities within the league. Now, the league likes it that way because you don't really root for individual players as much as you root for your teams. You get team hats, and your jerseys have players' names in the back, but you can wear an Eddie Kinnison jersey out at Arrowhead today, and you're going to blend in with the fandom because you're there with the team. That's why the league is okay with it, and that's why the league, and also with free agency, as much as players move around and everything, whenever Salvador Perez leaves the Royals, if he gets traded as they rebuild, or if he gets moved as if he gets just moved as his contract runs out, whatever that is, it's going to be a very sad day in Kansas City, because he's a personality that's very easy to root for. That's not something that teams want you to be able to be attached to. Everyone from Dayton Moore to now, I guess Brett Veach is his equivalent, but really Andy Reid. Everybody would just prefer you show up for the team, for the logo, whatever, the name on the front of the jersey, not the back of the jersey.
Right, yeah.
But that's so unrealistic. For me, I would just prefer to see actual, real personalities. And we've seen Marcus Peters, and you don't have to like it, but the idea that he, with his personality, is an embarrassment to Kansas City, I think is such a hyperbole. I literally rolled my eyes.
Complete overreaction in my book.
We're out here at Pegas Family Restaurant out at the intersection of Shawnee Mission Parkway in Antioch. Come by. You can enter to win a complete home facelift courtesy of Continental Siding. You can come by and enter to win tickets to the Miami Heat Philadelphia 76ers game at the Sprint Center on Friday, October 13th. Section 105. That seems Section 105, row 11. That seems like a decent enough seat.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I feel like that's going to be your, yep. If you do go there for this game along with Beards, I feel like you're going to have better seats than Beards is going to have. Is that fair, Beards?
I haven't bought the tickets yet, but I feel like since this will be my first NBA game that I'm going to go to, we're going to support you a little bit and get closer to the
action. Wow, how excited is he?
Oh, man.
His first NBA game ever. I know it's not your Celtics, but still.
I know, but
you're going to get to see the last. You're going to get to see the last game that Joel Embiid plays this season.
Yeah, I know. I'm really looking forward to that part.
So come by here at Pegas, get some food, enter for those things. You can also pick up some free tickets to the Renaissance Festival. I've already been this year. You can go see the man who has tomatoes thrown at his face as he insults little children around him. That's my future dream job.
Yeah.
Was the highlight of the Renaissance Festival for me. So come on by here at Pegas.
Come down to Pegas and throw a tomato at him right now if you
dude,
want.
Dude, okay, so listen, if you wanted to give, if you could get, like, some veggies from the kitchen and you wanted to go ahead and slide me a fiver to, like, fling an onion at my face or something from, like, I don't know, 20 yards away, I feel like I'd line up for that. An onion might be a little bit too firm. An onion might have been a little bold. Maybe, like, a roll or, like, okay. like a burger bun. If you want to throw bread at me for $5, you can 100% do that. Come see us out here at Pegas. We'll be back whenever we come back next. We'll talk about a couple more things we saw from Monday night. Also, we'll look ahead to Chiefs and Texans. That's next here on Almost Entirely Sports.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Go ahead and just talk about your fantasy football team for the next, hour and 52 minutes.
Okay, yeah. So this is the Fantasy Football Show.
All right, cut his mic.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports. Oh, God, Charlie. God, I could hit you with a plate. I could break a plate over your head right now. Here's something that I don't totally understand. Sometimes I get it, and sometimes I don't. Occasionally, you and Beards just straight up run interference on this show. Like, very often, especially today here, a wet and wild, wacky Wednesday, weird, wacky Wednesday.
Did you expect anything less?
Starring Warley Warlin. I expect you, I want you, especially on Wednesdays, to be not a sidekick of this show, but a catalyst in this show. I want you to be something that, you know, moves us forward. And then the first thing that you say, unprompted today, is to literally try to change the intro of the show a cappella.
Yep. You're welcome.
I think I expect it from Beards, but whenever you do it, sometimes it still surprises me. If you want to talk about your fantasy football team later, you can.
Okay, cool.
We're broadcasting live. I'm alongside Charlie Carlin, but Piers McFly back at the studio because we're broadcasting live from Pega's Family Restaurant out here at the intersection of Shawnee Mission Parkway and Antioch. Come by, get some food. I have yet, again, still to sample anything here, but eventually, maybe before I head home, maybe we'll be able to amend that. I'll let you know whenever I do. Currently, the only thing I've consumed since I've gotten here is one menthol cough drop. So they're keeping me far away from the food, and you have no concern in being contaminated by my sickness, unless you come and pick up some Renaissance Festival tickets, in which case I've already coughed on all of those individually. So those are also – you could probably resell those for, like, double the value at this point.
After the coughs?
After the coughs,
yeah. Of course. Yeah.
You come in to sign up to win a couple of great things, some tickets to the NBA preseason game of the Sprint Center, a free home facelift from Continental Siding. Register to win both of those. Partake in the goodness here at Pegas at Shawnee Mission Parkway and Antioch. I had Andrew on Twitter tweet me. You can always tweet me at JB Briscoe. You can tweet the show at Kansas City ESPN on Twitter, the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page. But I had Andrew tweet me. He said, do you think the wholesomeness of the Royals World Series team changed Kansas City's expectations for local athletes regardless of their level of play? And I think this is interesting. I'm not sure. Because I think Eric Hosmer got close to being kind of like a bad boy for the Royals, but the fact that Eric Hosmer was like the closest of those options is I think actually probably the best argument for Andrew's question there.
I'd say Yordano Ventura was kind of like that occasionally.
Oh, that's a good call. No, that's a really good call. In fact,
Ventura had the
somebody,
attitude.
Yes, somebody
there were a lot
me,
of fights started because of him.
Right. I had somebody tweet me whenever I was talking about Peters and Kelsey a couple days ago, and somebody said, no, that totally makes sense. Yordano Ventura was my favorite Royal for that same reason. And I forgot about that. That is a great call, Beards. He was insanely polarizing. And this is something that I knew was going to happen literally as soon as he died. We knew that the stories of his past were going to be largely the memories of him would be largely cleaned up in the minds of people who had been very critical of him. But that is an unfair way to remember Yordano Ventura because he was perpetually extremely divisive. He was an emotional pitcher. Emotions in baseball are hard for people to get with. People are often surprised to see a pitcher willing to pitch with some emotion. And whenever it succeeded, it was all look at this fiery guy out here throwing with his heart. And then whenever the Royals would lose with him on the mound, it'd be all, you know what, he needs to get it together. They need to get somebody in there to pull the reins up on him a little bit. And I hated the way that we did that in this city, where we would swing from one side to another and say whenever the result changed, so did the analysis of who he was as a person. And that drove me crazy. And so we're going to do the exact same thing with Marcus Peters. Thank you, Charlie.
You're welcome.
Charlie was – Beards, I'm just going to talk to you for a second here. What happened there is I thought we'd have this little monologue, excuse me, and then I would just sort of toss it over to Charlie in like a cloud. And as I finished that statement,
was he listening?
Charlie literally moved to turn off his microphone.
I did not actually.
Your finger touched your on-off button. It was on the whole time. Then I let it be quiet for a second, and then your finger moved to hit the off button. And now it's off. Oh, it was off and back on. He cleared his throat off mic. Good job. I'm gonna do the same thing. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to bring up that April when Yordano Ventura and all those fights with the White Sox and everything. And, yeah, people weren't happy with Yordano and Ventura, but they had, more patience with him. and people are automatically just throwing Marcus Peters under the bridge, just like not happy with what he's doing and everything, and just because he's being emotional as well. It's a double standard that's not. I don't understand it really, and I think people need to just kind of let him do his thing, and obviously he needs to not take it out on his fans, but at the same time, you know, still be an emotional player and still back up the play on the field, that sort of thing.
Here's a story that just popped up on Twitter that literally came out a couple minutes ago. We're going to quote from Pro Football Talk here. Cam Newton just did a real bad thing for his own image. This is a very different conversation, but it kind of works, I guess, in the same realm. A female reporter asked Cam Newton. She said, "Cam, I know you take a lot of pride in seeing your receivers play well. Devin Funchess has seemed to really embrace the physicality of his routes and getting those extra yards. Does that give you a little bit of enjoyment to see him kind of trusting people out there?" Then the article says Newton was smirking while Rodriguez. I might have said that wrong earlier. Rodriguez asked the question, and he made a totally inappropriate comment before answering. Quote, "It's funny to hear a female talk about routes. It's funny," Newton said, before then giving some thoughts about Funchess growing as a receiver. So she apparently didn't follow up, and no one else around came in that conversation followed up on that comment. But later the reporter tweeted, "I don't think it's funny to hear a female talk about routes. I think it's my job. I spoke with him after, and it was worse. I chose not to share because I have an actual job to do today, and not one he will not keep me from." So how bizarre. Yikes. How bizarre. "I spoke with him after, and it was worse. I chose not to share because I have an actual job to do today, and one he will not keep me from." What an absolutely bizarre thing to say. And I guess this is, yeah, okay, here's the full, see if there's more tweets from Jordan. It's spelled like Rodriguez, but there's no Z at the end. So I'm guessing it's Jordan Rodriguez, maybe. She's a Panthers beat writer. That's just a very bizarre response from Cam Newton, especially in an NFL right now that's doing a generally better job about not being quite so, I guess, stern in the norms of reporters, coaches, referees, analysts. It's surprising to hear a young quarterback say that.
Well, and he's never done this to the media, at least that I can recall.
I mean, there was a small controversy about him just dealing with the media after the Super Bowl loss.
Yeah.
But that had nothing to do with any of the. Oh, apparently there's audio of it also. Beers, maybe you can scope around.
I'll take a look, see what I can find.
Joe Ovies on Twitter just put it out, and maybe you can see if you can grab us that audio. It's just very bizarre. I thought that. And partially, I'm guessing this is an ignorance of mine to assume ignorantly that the NFL was moving in a better direction here. But the dichotomy that shows up occasionally, I just wouldn't have expected it from Cam Newton. I don't know why I had that expectation. But really, I guess to hear that from any starting quarterback would have been pretty bizarre. This also makes me think about the conversations that happen with distractions. We talked about yesterday that Ben Roethlisberger said that Antonio Brown had caused the team a distraction after Ben Roethlisberger has had his own distractions. That was a fake cough, actually. That was a cough for adding to the phrasing there.
Right. And Cam Newton, I'm just looking at his stats because I want to see if like he's just frustrated with his play so far, and I knew he didn't start. Hasn't had the best start.
He was great last week, though. They beat the Patriots.
That was the first game that he's been pretty good at.
Yeah.
He had a 130 quarterback rating, but he's 5-5 touchdown to interception ratio in the season with an 85.5 rating this year. So, you'd think that this outburst would come after the first three games.
Yeah,
not
I think
after
that
just beating the defending world champs.
I think that gives him too much credit. Like I understand that. And now, yes, this is rolling through Twitter right now. Bomani Jones says, you know, what Cam said was indefensible and crazy and mature. He's got to cop to that or he's going to get rightfully dragged. That is going to happen. And I just saw the video. I haven't heard the audio yet, but I just saw the video. And he didn't look like that was an offhanded thing. Like, he was kind of bouncing around the podium as he said. A really bizarre really bizarre statement there. I know Beard said he was going to grab the audio, so we'll circle back around to that in a second. We're also going to hear from Deshaun Watson at some point in a completely different realm. We're going to actually hear Deshaun Watson talk about getting ready to play the Chiefs because, as we mentioned earlier, we don't have a show tomorrow or Friday. So we're going to do our Texans preview stuff all within the realm of today's shows, even as we look back to Monday night a little bit more. A weird schedule for us this week because there's like 2 days between football, basically, the way we're doing it.
I was going to say, I was listening yesterday on the way to Chiefs Kingdom, and I didn't even realize that you don't have a show the next 2 days, and then you're off for the weekend, obviously, and so that's, what, four days.
4 days with no radio is going to be the longest that I've gone without radio.
You're
going to
have so much cooped up on Monday.
Yeah, like, Monday's going to be insane.
Monday's going to be a wet and wild Monday.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Regardless of what happens on Sunday night, there's going to be like three stories that are going to happen between like the end of the, between 6:01 today and 3:59 on Monday that is going to be completely bonkers. We might even do a little bit of kind of like previewing of this NFL weekend. We'll get to all that. Right now we're out at Pegas Family Restaurant out at Shawnee Mission Parkway in Antioch, adding to the bizarreness of this Wet and Wild Wacky Wednesday, which we've got a completely new place for doing this from. So you come by Pegas, sign up to win a couple of things we mentioned earlier, pick up some Renaissance Festival tickets, get some food, hang out, come say hi. So Beard says he has the audio of Cam Newton today. Let's go ahead and hear from Cam Newton's mouth in the context. Let's hear what Cam Newton said.
Cam, I know you take a lot of pride in seeing your receivers play well. Devin Funchess has seemed to really embrace the physicality of his routes and getting those extra yards. Does that give you a little bit of an enjoyment to see him kind of truck sticking people out there?
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes. Like, it's funny. But fun is coming along, man. This is a big game for him.
Oh, man. Hey, wow. Beards, can you isolate that one nervous laugh that came in after he said that? One reporter nervously chuckled to try to cut that tension a little bit, and that guy's laugh is going to be awesome on its own. It doesn't help any. The context did not give Cam Newton any extra help there.
That was a positive question.
Yeah. It was just a question about Devin Funchess performing well and how he's dealing with like his routes, with more physical routes. It's just a really bizarre place to take that. It's a really bizarre response for something. Like, it's not even for, if you wanted to be able to build up any excuse for that, it would be whenever there are like reporters from outside of football, like at the Super Bowl, whenever you get hold the laugh for a second. We're gonna just go ahead and have some performance art in a second. But it would be like whenever you're surrounded by TMZ reporters and whatever, fashion reporters or whatever at the Super Bowl. I understand then just being kind of like, yeah, this is silly. That was a very good, completely normal football question.
Absolutely.
All right, how can we work that laugh into, here, Charlie, make literally any statement whatsoever at all.
Any statement? Well, about my fantasy football leagues, so they're doing okay. Right?
It's funny.
That was Cam.
That was not it. Was that the same clip?
That was all that was after that.
So was that sounded suspiciously like Alex Smith on Monday night. I'm going to be honest. I thought you might have been crossing your wires there, your quarterback wires.
It's funny.
God, what a bizarre. What a bizarre place to go there.
Everyone's tweeting.
I know. I'm just staring at a couple of tweets currently. It just like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Including Panthers players weren't happy with the turf at Gillette Stadium. Didn't the Chiefs players say that too?
I think the Patriots said they weren't happy with the turf at Gillette after the Chiefs won. I didn't hear any Chief complaining about it, actually.
I was going to blame the Patriots for something, you know, trying to.
It hasn't been good. It hasn't been good enough. It hasn't worked. Yeah. Every time they've changed the turf, that they've lost the next game.
That's true.
Or they lost the game prior or whatever. Yeah. All right, well, that's the Cam Newton thing. Good God. Come on, Cam.
It's funny.
Just, just bizarre. Just so strange. And so just, like, it's blatant sexism
it's
in a way that I feel like we get. Yeah. I mean, I feel like he's definitely fielded questions from female reporters before. He's not a rookie.
No.
And even in college. Bizarre.
The video's weird.
It is weird.
The way he behaves in it is very strange.
Yes. You know what I thought whenever I saw the video? You can see the video in several places. And when I watched the video, you know what my first general thought was? Was he looks high. He looks like a person who is currently inebriated by drugs. Not a report, not an accusation. That to help you with in your mind's eye here. That is the
That smile.
Is that not fair?
That's pretty weird.
It's a pretty good description from what I saw.
Yeah. I'm not saying that he was high at this press conference.
But
that would be a pretty big scandal.
He wasn't either.
I guess I also don't know that. I don't know that he wasn't either.
Breaking news.
Super stoned right now.
We don't know. We may or may not know. Breaking news.
Perfect. All right, we'll take a break and come back and talk about Texan stuff, and we'll hear from Chris Jones soon. He'll hear from Bill O'Brien. Can't wait for him to put some of his genius on this show. Freaking Bill O'Brien. I'll tell you what, let's do a little bit of a spoiler here. I think the Chiefs are going to win this weekend because they have the biggest coaching advantage that is currently possible in football. Bill O'Brien is a clown.
He is.
We're out here at Pegas Family Restaurant at Shawnee Mission Parkway and Antioch. Come say hi. Come in to win some tickets to the Sprint Center NBA game coming up in, about a week from now. And get some tickets to the Renaissance Festival. And most importantly, say hi to us. Get food from Pegas. And so even if we make you sad, then the food from Pegas will make you happy.
Yes, it's comfort food for a reason.
Whenever we come back, we'll talk about football. That's a promise that we probably will not be able to live up to. That's next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
That's funny.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Soft.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Yes. Good work, Beards.
Good work.
That was Cam Newton and then Alex Smith. Two guys in a two-day time period. Got a little chuckle and then a one-word. Alex Smith was funny. And Cam Newton's was horrible.
Yeah, not okay.
Several very important updates. Very important things. So, we are now in line to get food here at Pegas. We're out of Pegas Family Restaurant. It's a weird setup that we're in, because we're doing it from, a booth. Like, we're sitting in a booth.
We are.
Doing the show today. I tell you what. If I get to just sort of, point at a thing on this menu, eat, once per show, I would do every single show from, a bathroom stall here if I had to.
Yeah.
They're listen, you can do the show, but you have to do it inside an oven. I was like, you know what? Fine. If you bring me a combo breakfast, which is currently now what is on the assembly line, some biscuits and gravy, a couple of eggs, some hash browns, maybe some bacon on the side. That is currently en route.
I'm very annoyed with you guys because you guys are out there and you're going to eat food there. I got my lunch from school.
Well, Beards, you might think that we're both waiting on some new deliciousness.
Here we go.
You might think that would be the case. But, Charlie responded with a, I ate before I came. Check back later. Come on, Charlie.
So,
I'm at Pegas Family Restaurant at China Mission Parkway, Antioch. Come say hi, get some food.
I'm absolutely going to get some food later. So just give me a second. I mean, it is.
We're only here for another hour and 10 minutes.
You threw poor Josh under the bus too.
Oh, I'm totally. Comfortable.
He's most confident under the bus.
No, that's also very true.
Yeah, but no, I kind of just wasn't ready for her to kind of just spring that on us right there, and was just waiting for maybe towards the end of the show.
Yes, and Charlie. Yes, and. The improv rule. That is the rule for improv. Something happens, you go, yes, and you add on. That's...
Obviously, I didn't do any improv in any time of my life ever. But no, this combo breakfast thing that you got, it sounds delicious. I'm sure it's going to be delicious, and I'm probably going to get that here in a little bit. But
Going to not participate at the correct time.
It's 10 till 5.
You're gonna,
how old are you?
You're gonna come in and then copy my answers?
I don't know. We'll see.
There's a lot of good things on this menu here.
There's a
full menu of delicious-looking things here. They have beef liver. I've never had liver before.
Changes order.
there is a full menu of wonderful stuff here. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, all day breakfast. I'm a sucker for all day breakfast. Breakfast is amazing and is my absolute favorite thing. I'm oh no.
Oh wow, look at that.
What is that? Oh, it just arrived. Oh my goodness. Beards, what's the longest sound clip we can play? Do you have like a 45-minute long interview with the coach somewhere that we can play so I can sit here and eat this?
Somewhere I'm sure I have something, but I can settle for something that's like 3 or 4 minutes right now.
All right, so listen. I'm going to take a picture of what just showed up at my table. I'm going to take a picture of Charlie looking sad with no food in front of him. And we're going to oh man. Okay, well, we're going to have a commercial break soon. It's going to sit here
for
like
2 minutes. We can play Deshaun Watson right now.
No, but we're going to play Chris Jones. As we were already planning, I will be digging into this as soon as we go to break, and then not a second later. This is going to be a very difficult segment for me to pull off. And
oh, she just said I'm not allowed to order the same thing. Oh man,
the law, combo breakfast. The off law the list. Has been thrown down.
Oh boy,
Charlie has to order something else now. You only now have 75 other delicious looking options.
How
you poor
will
child.
I choose?
You poor child.
You know how indecisive I am.
Shut up and look at the menu.
I'm going to smack you.
Pick a genre. Pick a meal.
I'm going to steal your breakfast.
Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and then go ahead and narrow it down, you child. You're not going to pick something that's not good. He just found there's a Nutella French toast right there.
Do we want to just spend the rest of the segment trying to figure out what Charlie wants to order?
Honestly, I do.
Okay.
Honestly, I do.
What's in the lunch menu?
Oh, my God. We're not doing this right now.
A couple of things as Charlie flips through the menu here. Andrew chimed in on Twitter again. He said, as I was criticizing Bill O'Brien, he said, I bet Bill O'Brien didn't stomp down the birth of a Froyo empire, though, so we all have our flaws. That made me very happy because that's a tweet that references a conversation we had on the show like a week ago. So that's fantastic. Also, the person who I've been calling David, who has now informed that his actual name is Charlie, another Charlie. We have enough of
There's
them already.
Another one?
He chimed in to ask the real question, do you feel better than you did yesterday? I feel much better now.
He's dead inside, don't worry.
Yeah, but I also have this breakfast here. That's very exciting. So right now I feel great. Also, Jeff Schwartz chimed in on Twitter and said in response, someone was saying about Cam Newton, he's not wrong, the PC police is everywhere. Jeff Schwartz quote tweeted it and said, never once thought when a female reporter asked me about offensive line play that she was less qualified than a male reporter asking the same question. Grow up. This is the place that you have to be at. Like, if you're of the mindset of, well, if you didn't play the game, then I don't want to have you as be a part of this. First of all, you've wiped out effectively 90% of the people talking about sports. I don't need you to have put your hand in the dirt to be a justified analyst of any of this. But beyond that, then once you're beyond that place, it's silly for you to say, oh, this voice asking about routes is slightly higher pitched. It makes me so aggravated. Beards, do we have time to play Chris Jones?
Yes, very quickly.
All right, let's go to Chris Jones. This is Chris Jones today talking to the media.
What are your thoughts on Houston? This is a team that's played well lately, especially this past weekend.
The quarterback has changed the dynamic of the team, Deshaun Watson. I mean, the offense is a completely different offense from what they used to be. You got to account for him with the run. Also, he can pass the ball. So, you know, we got to affect the quarterback and stop the run.
Kirk Cousins had some success on the ground against you guys. What is the key to containing Deshaun Watson, not letting him get those big plays on the ground?
You know, everybody is like a chain link. Everybody doing their job, connecting together, closing up the rushing lanes.
How elusive is Watson?
Oh, he's very elusive. You see the offense put a, 56? 52 or 56, somewhere in that range. And he's a huge part of that.
You guys talked to Marcus Peters about his performance on Monday night with the, you know, yelling at the crowd and everything else that went into it.
Just being himself, you know. Coach Reese, they show your attitude, show who you are. That's Marcus Peters, you know, remarkable guy. You know, that's what we need, guys playing as their self. He want to yell at the crowd, let him do that. It's part of his game.
How common is that on the sideline? You know, guys, crowd yelling down at you guys, saying different, you know, like whatever it may be. Is that pretty common? Guys,
yeah, it's pretty
talking
common.
Back and forth?
It's pretty common, especially on away trips. You know, you have blatantly fans who go out crazy and, you know, try to affect the player any way they can.
Is it hard to ignore that?
Fans, you okay with that?
Yeah, F-bombs
and
home fans,
okay?
You know, that's not me to, to correct. You know, I'm quite sure Coach Reed and Marcus had a conversation about it, but I didn't hear it, didn't see it, so, you know, can't voice my opinion on it.
That's Chris Jones. I think there's some interesting things in there. The most interesting thing he said, you know, Coach Reed says, show your attitude, show who you are. That's who Marcus is. I hope that Andy Reid actually does cultivate that. I think he probably does, considering some of the players we've seen him be the coach of throughout the years, not just in Kansas City, but also in Philadelphia. Now he's got Travis Kelce, he's got Marcus Peters. Those are guys who help make this team a Super Bowl contender. Alex Smith is not a guy that you're ever going to be afraid of what he's going to say or do on the sidelines or in a post-game press conference, whatever. You're going to have a team that's going to be a combination of those personality types. I'm glad the Chiefs have Kelce and Marcus Peters. All right, the second hour is going to be hugely devoted to Texans and Chiefs. We're out here at Pegas Family Restaurant, Shawnee Mission Parkway, and Antioch. Talk Texans whenever we come back.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.